And he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that penance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We have come to the fourth and last Mass and day of the great feast of Easter. Already the world really is clamoring at our door, and Mary is under considerable pressure to give way to Martha. Well, the octave continues in the ancient church after this last holy day. The neophytes, the newly baptized, with their white garments, were still taken around to the great churches of Rome, and the wonderful Gospels of Easter Sunday were still chanted and thus commemorated. But today, on this last day of the great feast, today is a feast of devotion, once a holy day of obligation, let's take a moment and to consider. We go in spirit to St. Paul's Church, without the walls, outside the city of Rome this morning, to consider that universality that he embodies. He's the doctor of the Gentiles. He preaches to Jew as well as to Greek and Gentile. Everyone is called into the feast. There's an interesting moment fairly early on in the preface for the blessing of the baptismal water, and it's always nice to see the people gathered around to be able to witness this. After all, you know, the pews are really a modern invention. They're a convenience. Some people claim that pews are Protestant. I'm not sure about that, but in any case, in the old days in the big churches, people just stood, and if they couldn't stand, they would lean against the wall, or maybe there might be some benches over to the side. So it's nice to be able to be a little bit mobile as the church is going to all of these stational feasts throughout the course of the great liturgical year. Early on, the celebrant takes some of the freshly blessed baptismal water and he casts it to the four directions of the earth, north, south, east, and west. I remember one day a few Easters ago, somebody didn't want to move, and eventually I always make a little sign that move or else they would get all wet, because I cast a good handful of water, and because the world really needs that holy water today. And finally I said, I need to throw the water at you, so move. And whoever it was agreeable enough to move, because the world needs the water, not so much the clergy or the servers. It's the fourth day, the fourth Mass. Think of the universality of north, east, south, and west. And you have a little bit the idea or the concept of today's Holy Mass. There's nothing so universal, Carol Hauslander says this, as that desire to be reborn. And that's why spring is such a beloved season of the year. It's a fresh start. It is for us a new beginning. We see nature and we see grace and we think to ourselves, well, why not? As our Lord says in the end of the gospel today, on Easter Sunday evening to the 11, he says, now you have to preach penance and you have to preach the remission of sins to all of the world. Penance, we've been on that since Ash Wednesday. That means a real change of heart, a fresh start, and a new beginning. So our Lord appears to the apostles on Easter Sunday evening. This is Luke's telling of the event. And he shows them his wounds, his hands, and his side as glorious sons. You might say this is the start of our devotion. And don't forget, it's a powerful devotion to the holy wounds of our Lord. But he does not show them the wound in his side. This, I think, he saved for his beloved Apostle Saint Thomas. Now, Thomas is called the doubter. He was a bit of a character, that's true, but he would make such elaborate Mary Magdalene-like reparation for his sin of doubt that would take him all around the world, literally. He would set up the cross of Christ in America, north Alaska all the way down to the end of South America and Central America too. And thus he would make reparation, because he's the type of so many souls, you know, who are good people, but they have their rules. And if God knows what's good for him, they'll follow their rule. God will follow their rules. But of course, that's not how it's meant to be. And Thomas had to learn that lesson the hard way. But again, think of the universality today, the devotion of the five holy wounds. But our devotions would not be enough. We saw yesterday that the mere study of sacred scripture would certainly not be enough for us. We need something else. We need the evidence of the senses. We need the reality and the spiritual truth of the sacraments. And so, our Lord sees that the apostles are confused. They're joyful to see him, of course, but they're not really believing in him yet. They're not eliciting that supernatural act of faith. And our Lord casts about, as it were, looks around and says, well, do you have anything to eat? And they offer him supper. Probably one of the apostles grilled them some good salmon. If they had salmon then, I'm not sure. But in any case, they had some kind of a nice grilled fish, and they had some honeycomb, which is probably a very natural honeycomb for dessert. And so they offer him some of each, and he eats in front of them. Of course, the fish, that's a symbol of Christ and also a symbol of faith, and the honeycomb entering into the promised land and the sweetness of God's kingdom. And when they see our Lord eat, they realize it's no ghost. It's no mere vision. Our Lord is truly risen from the dead. So too we, when we receive our Lord in Holy Communion, when we eat his flesh and drink his blood truly, then our doubts are dissipated and our weakness is strengthened, and we are encouraged to continue on that path of penance, so that Easter, what a wonderful custom in English, that our name for the resurrection should be the old German word for spring. The true spring of the soul can be realized in our soul and in our life. We all get a new, fresh start. How good the good God is. That should be achieved. However, even that is not enough. Consider it. Dom Columba Marmion says that God the Father will that all of the graces and all of the virtue that you and I need for daily life, for saving our souls, should be all gathered up and put into the sacred humanity of our Lord. So think again of his five holy wounds. Think again of him feeding us with his body and his blood. But think too of all the lessons, all of the sayings, all of the visual pictures and meditations of his whole life. All of that to assist us. But what about later on this morning? What about tomorrow if you can't make it to Mass? What about when Easter starts to wear off and the baptismal robe gets a little grimy towards Friday, say, or Saturday? What then? There's a wonderful jewel in the last prayer of the Mass today, the post-communion, and it is a reference to spiritual communion, which, remember, St. Teresa of Avila says, give us almost as much grace as sacramental communions do. May this sacrament today persevere in us always. The Lord whom you receive today devoutly in Holy Communion is as close to you as a little act of union with him. I cannot receive thee sacramentally. Come at least spiritually into my heart. And what is that? If you had not another blessed devotion, let us continue with our devotions, let us continue with our fresh starts and the continuation of a joyful penance during the whole of this Easter tide. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.